Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and in this ASI cast, we'll be taking a practical look at programmatic, and not only as it applies to so-called digital inventory. Programmatic also brings automation and data-driven decisions to the scheduling of linear TV campaigns. Pete Doe, Chief Research Officer at Clipped in the US, discusses with Brian Jacobs how programmatic is evolving there, and following a number of meetings held recently in the UK, Germany, the Netherlands and France, how structural differences in individual markets give rise to a number of opportunities to help optimise regular TV advertising with newer opportunities such as addressable and online video advertising. These differences also shed some light on wider issues facing the industry across the digital piece.
Pete, it's great to talk to you again. Last time we spoke to you, it was a few months ago now, and you were describing the exciting challenges that you were facing at Clipped, and indeed the whole business strategy behind Clipped and the thinking behind Clipped. And I know, because I was lucky enough to meet up with you, that you've been on a grand tour of Europe. And I wondered if you could just start off perhaps by telling us a little bit, first of all, just remind people what Clipped actually does, and then secondly, perhaps how you found Europe, as it were.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. And yes, it was a very interesting and valuable trip to Europe, and it was great seeing you for lunch. To remind everybody what Clipped does, Clipped operates in the programmatic TV space. To some, that almost sounds like an oxymoron, programmatic being very much associated with digital, but we are bringing automation and data-driven decisions to the scheduling of linear TV campaigns. We are working on the sell side. So our clients are media owners. There's a lot of activity on the demand side as well. I think it's difficult for any organization to operate on both. So we chose to work on the sell side. And so we have cable networks such as Discovery as our clients. And we've been looking into Europe. We have funding from RTL, the RTL group. And so we spent some time in Europe talking with various RTL countries. So we went, first of all, to Cologne and spoke to IP Deutschland, which is a division of RTL. We also went to Munich and we spoke to ProSieben, who is a competitor of RTL in Germany. We're open to working with competitors. RTL are okay with that as well. So we had a good discussion there. We then went to Paris, and after that we went to Amsterdam. And it was a busy week. Everything worked though. All the trains and planes worked. So it was good. And we did learn a lot. And it's clear. And we knew going in that Europe is not a homogeneous entity. Everybody knows that. Majority of people know that. I know there are some American organizations who don't fully understand that and try and put a complete solution from the States into every country in Europe. But they soon learn. But that's a very difficult proposition in most cases, whatever industry you're in. So we learned a lot. Germany, very interesting, the environment there. Very much, it seems, driven by the agency, having done their sort of upfront deals with the media owners, then have access to pretty much all the inventory and create schedules which they then send through to the media owners. So, you know, from a Clipped perspective, being on the sell side, the opportunities there we acknowledge are fairly limited if we stick to our traditional business model, because the sell side does not have a huge amount of control over the process there, which was interesting to me to find out. But there are other opportunities there in Germany, I think. And we spoke to Klaus Ilgner of IRT, who's involved with the HBB TV initiative. And a lot of data coming out of that. There could well be some opportunities there. Maybe not in the immediate short term, but I can certainly see the possibilities there of a lot of data coming from the HBB TV enabled devices, and I think that could lead to some very interesting insights in terms of advanced targets going beyond gender and age. And I think it can eventually lead into addressable and so on. So I think that was a very interesting discussion.
So you find, I imagine, the opportunities, therefore, as you said, as you were suggesting, do vary pretty widely by country, don't they, I think? I mean, it is the buy-sell sort of process that does change things quite a lot from country to country, and presumably from there, that's in a way what drives the opportunities, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And regulations as well, an interesting finding from Paris is the French legislation that currently prohibits addressable advertising on television. And that's something that I think some lobbying is happening to change that. It's quite an old piece of legislation, I think, designed to protect the print business. I'm not exactly sure when it was passed, but probably in the 1980s, I think, something like that. Mm. And obviously the world has changed a huge amount since then. Mm. And addressable happens all the time in digital, and TV is very much a digital medium now anyway. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether that legislation changes and what opportunities come up there. I have to say, we're not primarily involved with addressable. We have been involved with that. This is more about linear TV schedules. But one thing we got from some of the meetings in Amsterdam, we've heard it elsewhere, is the need to be holistic about this. And so linear TV schedules still very important. But being able to link in with addressability as well to find the best target in the most cost-effective way is really key.
I think you put your finger on what is a major problem or a major opportunity, I guess, for the industry as a whole. I mean, I think if you go and speak to most agency buyers or traders, and you ask them how do they manage to balance linear, you know, traditional sort of regular TV with any other form of TV, be it, you know, video on demand or in fact anything else, how do you know how much of one you need and how much of another to get to your objectives? And to be honest with you, most of them say they don't have a system that does that. They don't have a way of doing that. It's just almost finger in the air time. So I think, you know, there's definitely an opportunity and a need to deliver something along those lines.
I absolutely agree. And it isn't a simple thing to do.
No,
it isn't. And I think that's where, as well, the old traditional sort of currency model begins to fall down, because there are so many data sets that you could use to inform that decision making, and so many of those data sets are proprietary and would not necessarily fit neatly into a more open sort of currency model.
I think that's true across digital as a whole, actually. I mean, you find, you know, there's so many different proprietary ways of doing things that actually trying to come up with some kind of industry standard or JIC type standard, as it were, is a very hard thing to do for quite understandable reasons. So I think that you're quite right. Going back to the US, obviously your homeland, I mean, what have you noticed there? Are you finding that actually people are starting to mesh data sets together? Is there
and it's a very nice follow-on from what we were just talking about, I think, and it's been very interesting to see what data sets are being used. And from talking to various media owners and agencies, you can sort of see why gender and age have lasted so long, because it's a common ground that everybody can agree on. And the moment you go beyond that, then there has to be some discussion about exactly what that target is. Now, what we're seeing is that data sets that have been fused or directly matched onto the Nielsen currency data, and typically by Nielsen with third party matching in some cases, those data sets are more acceptable or easier to get the discussion going, let's put it that way, between agency and media owner. So, for example, the MRI data fusion that I had a hand in creating when I was at Nielsen, that's a data set that is well known and well understood in the industry. Agencies have it, media owners have it, so you're already on common ground there, and you can have a discussion about what target best suits you. Similarly, the other Nielsen data sets like NBI, Nielsen Buyer Insights, that is a direct match of credit card transaction data to the Nielsen panel data, that's getting more traction, as is Nielsen Catalina Solutions, which merges frequent shopper data with the Nielsen panel. So all of those create some common ground, as I was saying, that enable the discussion to begin. And what we're seeing is deals being done, not necessarily with guarantees on those advanced targets, but with a sort of secondary element to the deal. So the deal's still being struck on gender and age, because you know that's the way the deals have been structured up to now, and that's the way the money has flowed. But increased emphasis on the advanced target, so optimizing for international flyers or beer drinkers or whatever it may be.
I think it's interesting that, you know, this is sort of bringing TV much more into the sort of aura of becoming a kind of planned medium as opposed to being a bought medium. I think, you know, a lot of the old ways of doing things was, well, we use the word, it's a sort of trading currency, isn't it? So gender and age and everything fit very neatly into that descriptor. So you have traders who trade on those criteria because that's what they've got and that's what's always been there. But when you get more into the sort of light and shade bit, and you get people considering, you know, whether or not they should be looking at, I don't know, frequent cola drinkers or infrequent cola drinkers or whatever it may be, that's really a kind of planning discussion, which moves the medium rather more in that direction. And your point about Germany is very well made, because Germany for years really has been more of a, I would describe it more as a kind of buying market as opposed to a planning market. Mm. And I think, you know, the structure there, as you described it, I think brings that out sort of very well.
Yeah, it was very interesting going there, and it's clearly an environment that's just sort of got that way. I don't know how it got that way, but that's the way it is, and it seems to work for people. But I do think there are opportunities there that are precluded by the model that's in place there. I think what it comes down to is that media owners now can value their inventory much better than they could previously, because there are so many more additional pieces of information, other data sets that they can use to understand just how valuable their programs are. And armed with that information, if you understand the value better, then you should be able to price it better, set rates better, and so on. And that's really all about what we're trying to do, is to maximize the value of the inventory. And you know, obviously we are working for the sell side, and you could argue that we're trying to maximize the value for media owner, and that's absolutely right. But you know what? Everybody benefits, because if you do this with more information and more data, then the buyer gets a better deal, reaches the people that it really wants to meet. It's also better for the viewer, because the viewer is going to see more relevant ads than they were previously. So, you know, it's all about minimizing waste and making this as good as it can be for everybody.
Yeah, I think you know, it's one that's a myth that says that agencies are just about trying to drive costs down. I mean, that's true to a point, but it's only true to the point that you know, you're delivering the thing that they want. What they want to do is deliver the thing that you want, i.e. the audience they want, and then obviously to get that at the cheapest price. I mean, if the sort of gross price of buying that is higher than buying an audience you don't want, then it's far better to buy the audience you do want, if you're
exactly. Yeah, it's sort of false economy, isn't it? Otherwise, yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. But you were mentioning about planning databases, and it is interesting that the databases I was reeling off in the States, the MRI Fusion and the NBI and NCS databases, those ones were created for planning and ad sales, and also some form of effectiveness measure after the fact. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the MRI Fusion, but certainly the NBI credit card match and the NCS frequent shopper data match. It allows you to look at exposure to advertising and then subsequent purchases after the event. So, yeah, having that effectiveness measure is great. Having a planning capability is great, but none of those data sets were really designed for transactional purposes of actually creating the deals and stewarding the deals. And that's an interesting challenge that I've been focused on quite a bit since I've been at Clipped. How do you take those data sets which weren't really designed for what we're using them for and make them do that. And you know, one good example is MRI Fusion, which is typically, say, 2 to 4 months out of date in terms of the panel members being classified. And that's just because of the way the data flows in and the fusion is done and so on. And, you know, new panel members join the panel every day. So that then means that if you're looking at overnight data, you've got a gap there because not everybody's been classified. So, you know, what we've been doing is creating methodologies to address that, because it seems sort of the antithesis of what we're trying to do. If we enable advanced targeting but tell everybody they have to wait 6 months before they can see the results.
I think, there's lessons there for TGI, or for TGI and from TGI, I suspect, over here. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very similar sort of environment. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, it's great to talk to you again, Pete, and thanks so much for taking us through your whirlwind tour of Europe, as it were.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be there. We had reasonably good weather and some great food. And looking forward to coming back soon.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll see you at the ASI in November.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
All right, Pete. Well, thanks so much indeed for spending the time talking to us.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Brian. Okay.
See you soon. Cheers.
Bye.